Welcome to the Sandwich Boys conference call. Remember, if you have background noise, you can press 4-star to mute yourself, and then press 4-star again to unmute yourself. So if you've got animals or children crying or anything, you can mute yourself and then join us when you want to. So tonight's topic is tithing and stewardship. So I'll open with prayer. Father, thank you for giving to us. Help us to realize how careful you are with what you have, and how you trust us enough to allow us to watch some of that for you, even though it all belongs to you. May we be faithful and learn what you have for us, and be responsible and be good children that you can trust. Help us to learn more of what your word says, and to base our beliefs upon what you say, and not just what culture says or what others say, but that we can live lives fully for you and always for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we put new sermons on our phone line. That would be an example. That would be an example of background noise. Being attacked by a rabid dog, you can press 4-star. Or we'll just keep playing and trying to see who it is, alright? Yeah, we'll try to figure this out first.
Aye, aye, aye.
Alright. So, we'll give we put new sermons on a couple of days ago, so if you want to call into our sermon line and listen to those, I'll give you the topics, and you can call in. The phone number for the sermon line is 641-715-3800. 641-715-3800. And then enter the access code 478-499. 478-499. And the sermons we have on this time are, there's two parts by Dr. Karen Purvis of Focus on the Family on connecting with your child. She offers practical advice for parents on building and maintaining trust-based relationships with your children. Explains how parent-child attachments are designed by God to work, what happens when that connection is broken, and how parents can give their children a voice for their thoughts and feelings. So then we have a two-part sermon by Charles Stanley called Resting in God's Faithfulness. How do you respond when you find that your faith is being tested, or when you don't know what God is doing in your life? Then there's a sermon by Adrian Rogers called Let Us Arise and Build, where he teaches the three F's of getting to where God wants you to be: fix, focus, and form. That we need to get rid of the trash in our lives, focus on God, and live for Him. Then there's, if you get the Amish voice, you might have read Emmanuel Schrock's story that's currently being printed in there. And there's the audio of it, two parts, My Story and Amish Boy's Journey to Peace, so you can listen to those. And then there's a two-part sermon by Andrew Koblenz called Somewhere Forever. Someday you will open your eyes in eternity. There is no escape. When you do, you're either going to be in heaven or hell. So the choice is made today, not in eternity. So listen to Andrew Koblenz as he teaches from the Word of God about heaven and hell. So if you want to listen to those, I'll give the phone number again. You can call in 641-715-3800 and enter access code 478-499. So tonight's topic is tithing and stewardship. And there's seems to be two separate categories. Tithing is tithes and offerings. I see it as a little different than stewardship. So we'll talk about tithes and offerings first. And remember to think biblically. We've all been taught things, but let's see if we can come up with what the Bible says and see if what we've been taught is what the Bible says, or we can use verses to support what we say. So I'm sure a lot of us have heard growing up in church that tithing is you give God 10%. And there's a little background noise there. But you grow up, you give God 10%, and anything over that is an offering. But is that biblical? Maybe it is. and maybe it's not, but what do you think? What can you show from the Bible where you give God 10% and then everything after that is an offering according to the Bible? Or what have you heard about tithes and offerings?
Oh, offering.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is this?
Well, anybody have any thoughts on that? Does the Bible say to give God 10%? Go ahead.
I think the word tithe itself means 10%. And so whenever we read about tithe in the Old Testament, God is speaking about 10%. And, of course, I did a little bit of a study here this afternoon and was really surprised by how much is in the Old Testament about tithing. It pretty much started, I mean, the first time we can read about tithing is in Genesis chapter 14. So this is early on. It was when Abraham was, during Abraham's time. I'm going to read the scripture here. Melchizedek, a king also that we hear about in the book of Hebrews, but Melchizedek was the king of Salem. And he brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, it says. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithe of all. So we know that Melchizedek was sort of a figure of Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, he's not talked about very much, but he really made an impact here when he gave his tithe and he got his name written in the Word of God. You know, again, a tithe is a tenth of something. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. I think in this case, it may have been, in the Old Testament, it could have been many different things, but it was a 10% of something. All right, now, Paul, I guess if nobody else is going to share, let me just go through my study a little bit. I found this very interesting. We go a little bit further in chapter 28 of Genesis. We see where Jacob offers a tithe. And it was sort of an interesting situation here because Jacob responded to a dream that he had received from God by building an altar and vowing that in exchange for God's care and provision, he would give God a tenth of his belongings. So it was sort of like the guy in the hospital that says, hey, God, if you heal me and you let me get out of here, or maybe even a more recent one was a young man in jail. He had been in jail for a couple weeks, and he made a vow to God, and he said, if you let me out, I will go back 5 years. He just told me this 2 days ago. He goes, I will go back 5 years and figure out how much I made in the last 5 years, and I will pay 10% to God, to the church. He made that vow in the jailhouse a week ago. And, of course, he got out. Now, oftentimes when people make vows like that, they better keep them. I mean, I sat here on Saturday night about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and he's telling me this, and I said, all right. You know, when you make a vow like that, God will hold it to you. And he was really serious. He was going to do it. And interesting, I thought. Any thoughts on that? It goes right along with what Jacob did here in the Bible. He made a vow to give 10% of, if God would provide for him, he would in exchange give 10% a tithe.
Well, I have a question about the Abraham one. And I was reading about that, too. And it's one thing I read said that Abraham gave to Melchizedek, but it was the only time that he mentioned tithing was when he was going to go bring, because some of his family and servants were captured. So he was going to go bring them back, and he was going to give a tenth of what he got from there. Is there any mention of Abraham tithing any other time except when he defeated his enemy? Or is that applicable for everything?
I don't know that there is anything else. I think that's the only place it's mentioned, except later in the book of Hebrews.
But it's just an example of Abraham giving a tithe to God. Yeah, okay. Yeah, anybody else want to say anything? If you are muted, you can press 5-star, and we'll unmute you if you have something to say or ask. So the rest of you can join in. If not, back to Joe.
Well, let me just keep going here. Moses introduced tithe through the law in Leviticus chapter 27, and I'd like to read this. I mean, this is actually, I believe, maybe before this, it was just pretty much people did it on their own. It was voluntary, but then all of a sudden it became the law. And in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 through 34, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." The tenth, or the tithe, shall be holy unto the Lord. That 10% was the holy portion. We have a lot of background noise. I just want to say a thing about background. It is very distracting, and if there's any kind of noise going on in the background, it will pick it up and magnify it on the phone line. So, but going back here, the tithe that was introduced as law, here we see Moses giving the tithe of the law. The first 10% is called holy or set apart as belonging to the Lord. The Israelites were to return to God with... Okay. All right, so this is very important, and so the Israelites were to return to God with what was already his, and in doing so, recognize that it was the provision from Almighty God. All right, I find it even more interesting that as we go along, in Numbers chapter 18, we're told that tithes were established by the Levites, and behold, I have given to the children of Israel all the tenths in Israel for an inheritance for their service for which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, the Levites served as a special function in Israel. Of the 12 tribes, of the 12 young men that were born under Jacob, one of them only served God. They were in full-time ministry. They didn't farm. They didn't do anything to make a living, except they fully devoted their time and energy into the ministry. And because of that, because they ministered before God as Israel's priests, at God's command, the Levites didn't share in the other tribes' inheritance. The Lord was their portion and inheritance. So, long story short, they got 10% from the other 11 tribes. But in Numbers 18, it says that even the Levites had to give a 10% of the tithe that was paid to them. I had never known that before. But so everybody tithes, including the preachers. It was more than just, let me read here, offerings and tithe in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Hopefully I don't lose you now. Hold on just a little while longer and we'll get through this. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, it says, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there you shall come. And there you shall bring your," and it numbers a whole bunch of different types of offerings, "your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes," which is 10%, "your heave offerings, your vows and free will offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks." If you add all of that up, some of them were voluntary, some of them were commandments, But if you add it all up, they gave a minimum of 23% a year. A 23% of what they had and received throughout the year was given back to the Lord. It was much more than just 10%. And maybe just stop right there. I have some more notes here, but any thoughts on that so far? I'd love to hear some more from some of you are blocked because of the background noise. But Paul, what can they do if they have a comment?
They can press 5-star on their phone and we'll see and unblock you. Or if your background noise is gone too, then you can press 5-star and we'll unmute you. But yeah, about the 23%, they didn't have to pay taxes to the government then, did they?
I doubt. In the wilderness, they probably didn't have to do a whole lot there.
Yeah, and back in Deuteronomy 12, too, one thing I read in verses 11 and 12, when it talks about their tithes and offerings, they had one offering that they were supposed to give, or one tithe every third year. Well, it's like you and your, where they were supposed to feed the poor and the Levites and have a meal for everybody, it looks like.
So what happens? I mean, you obviously in every culture and in every generation, you have some people that love the gift, take the gift. I mean, they give generously. They really feel like they're in the saddle when they are giving. They love to do that. Other people really struggle. I because of the ministry that we're in, we have people that give, and we have this one person that gives once in a while, and his wife told me in a roundabout way, she said, "Now, when my husband gives, it is best if you let everybody know in front of him. He likes other people to know when he gives." And I really struggle with that. I don't, I think we have enough scripture and maybe we'll cover some of that tonight. But if we give because we want other people to know about it, I don't believe there's any benefit from that at all. I don't believe that. In the New Testament, we're taught that I think it was the Pharisees that were out there and trying to show off with their giving, and even the Pharisee that went down into the temple poked fun at the tax collector and said, "I'm glad I'm not like him," and he went down the list of all the things he does. And, if 1 Corinthians 13 talks about if you give everything you have, including burning your body, and you have not love, it benefits you nothing. And so it's more than just giving. It's more than just giving generously. It's giving out of your heart without desiring any recognition from anybody. You give it because you want to give. You give it because God wants you to give it. You give it because you have a burden to reach out and reach lost people. You give it because a poor person needs it, and you have more than them, and you give it out of your heart generously.
Yeah, like Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing when you give, and he told them, if the one that you were talking about, the Pharisees, that made a big deal out of it, Jesus said they have the reward, but they're not going to get anything from God because they got what they wanted.
Well, here's some how the Israelites tithe, the principles of plenty. Proverbs talks about honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So here's a note: if the world and everything in it truly belongs to the Lord, why wouldn't this principle be true? This isn't the only time that the Lord promises Israel that he'd reward generosity with plenty. And, we have the scripture where it talks about give and it shall be given unto you. I think it's true, a true statement to say give a lot and it shall be given to you. A lot shall be given back to you. And I'm not talking about if a millionaire gives 100,000, that might be a lot and it may not be a lot. The widow had 2 cents and she threw it all in. So it's proportionally, if you give a lot, you get back a lot. In Malachi chapter 3, it talks about robbing God. Remember, we're in the Old Testament now, but in Malachi chapter 3, if you didn't give your 10%, at least your 10, you were looked at as a person robbing God. And he just says here, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that shall not be room enough to receive it. When you read scriptures like that, it is, once again, it's a validation of those who give and give generously will never outgive God, because all the money that you have in your bank account, all the possessions that you and I own today, everything belongs to the Lord. It's a gift from God, and to rob him of his holy portion of 10% made God mad. It angered him. Because he wouldn't have to give anything to us in the beginning. And he said, test me. Try me out. And see if I won't give you back much more than what you'd ever dream of. Well, I realize I'm talking mostly here, so I'd love to hear some from some other people.
Remember, if you're muted, you can press 5-star if you want to comment. And the rest of you can just go ahead and say something.
I love to hear a testimony of how God worked in your life. I mean, was there a time when you didn't give and now you're giving, and what that has done for you? I think it's a tough topic, Paul.
Yeah, another thing what you were talking about is, I mean, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns all the silver and the gold. He owns all the cattle. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to give to him so he can survive. And there are times in the Bible where God says, I don't want what you have. Like in Isaiah chapter 1, God says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. And then he says a little later in verse 16 of chapter 1, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil.
You still there, Paul?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God says just because you give, that doesn't mean it necessarily pleases him if you're not giving with the right heart. He wants your heart first. That's the most important thing.
Well, I think people who give generously are just different kind of people. We like being around those people because they love to give and they're giving all the time. And there's just something special about those people. And I'm not necessarily even talking about money all the time. I'm talking about time, volunteering their time. We have some people that work in our ministry 20 to 30 hours a week and do that year round. They love to give their time, and they're the kind of people, they're special people, and I have no doubt in my mind that those that give so generously have not only a huge amount of blessing coming in this life, but even more so in the next life. Even Jesus Christ himself gave everything he had and went to the cross for us. Christianity is about giving. It always has been. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Even Almighty God gave his best.
Well, you want to hear some statistics on giving?
I would love to.
All right. Only 3-5% of Americans who give to their local church do so through regular tithing. So is it really, can you say you're tithing if you're not given 10%, if tithing means 10%? 37% of people who attend church every week and identify themselves as evangelical don't give any money to their church. Christians, on average, give 2.38% of their income to the church. 36% of evangelical Christians give less than 2%. Only about 25% of church attenders give to church. Christians give less today per person than they did during the Great Depression. So, and then one about churches, too. The churches today spend more money on buildings, on salaries, and on fundraising and different things like that than they do on missions and helping the poor. So what are your thoughts on those statistics? Because like Joe said, there are some who are real generous, just like with helping in the church. There's a few people who do a lot and the rest don't do much. And it seems like it's the same way with giving financially.
Well, the way I see that, Paul, is, you know, I hear people all the time say, well, the church doesn't spend their money wisely. They put it into this and they put it into that. And I just don't agree with it. That, to me, that's just like the person that says, well, I come to church, but there's so many hypocrites there, and I'm just not going to come and join them. And, you know, and the Christians are the worst, you know, and you stay away from them. You know, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter about other people. It doesn't matter if the church where I attend misspends their money, they're going to be held accountable for that. My job as a Christian, is to pay or to give toward the ministry. And I think we've not even reached the New Testament here yet. But obviously, giving a tithe was under the Old Testament. We're no longer under the Old Testament laws. Therefore, we're not under the tithe anymore. But the New Testament has plenty to say about giving. And hopefully we'll have time to go into that here. But again, it is my job to give as a Christian. What they do with that money, if they misspend it unwisely, if they will be held accountable. But I will be held accountable for how I give. And I think it's interesting. Huh?
Go ahead.
I think it's interesting, too, that if I heard right, you said during the Depression they gave a higher percentage. Is that correct?
Yes.
I mean, what does that say about us Americans at this time in our generation? It seems the more people have, the harder it is to give. And I think maybe some of the poorer churches give in proportion, they give a whole lot more than the richer churches. It just kind of shakes out that way.
Yeah, well, for Christian families making less than $20,000 a year, 8% of them gave at least 10%. For families making $75,000 or more a year, the figure dropped down to just 1% giving tithing. So, yeah, the ones who make less seem to give more.
You know what, the right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just somebody's calculations, I guess.
Yeah, remember, yeah, there's background noise. You can press 4-star and mute yourself.
What do you mean?
We're not in there.
Not supposed to be.
Okay. Well, let me share. In Mark chapter 12, it talks about the faithful giver. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much, in this case. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Obviously, the point of this passage is the faith of the woman. The faith of the woman. She had to have had tremendous faith in God. Makes me think of the scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. But this widow gave all she had, and out of poverty. What is also interesting here is the fact that Jesus went out of his way to sit and watch people give their offerings. God's interest in our giving isn't isn't any different. He recognizes more than we do how our faith is revealed in our habits of giving. It's a form of worship to God. It definitely, if your heart is sold out for God, you will not have a problem giving.
No. If you are more like, if you want to be more like Jesus, if a person wants to be more like Jesus and be like Jesus, what are we or what do we have to be? If you were to ask that question yourself. And that would be to be a servant. Jesus was a servant. We're servants. That is giving.
Amen.
All right. I have a question, Joe, too. You said that people should give, and we should give to the church. But what is the difference, or what if you give, do you have to give to the church, or can you give, what if you give directly to another ministry, or to a missionary, or do you think that the tithe, 10%, should go to the church outside of that? Can that be, can giving to other groups be included in the tithe, or is it separate?
Well, my opinion on that is that if you're being fed at the local church, then put it where you're getting fed. I've heard this day before, and we may have all heard this, but, you know, today you can turn the TV or the radio on, and you can hear preachers from all over, and that's not a bad thing. But to give part of your, what should be going to the local church, to give it out to those preachers, it's not a bad thing, but just remember, I mean, they're not your pastor. They're not your, they can't come to the hospital and visit you. They're not going to be there to encourage you on a personal level, not like your local home body of believers will be able to. And, maybe it's not necessarily black and white in Scripture, but it makes the most sense to me that if I belong to a local body of believers and I'm being fed and I'm being watched over and cared for by my brothers and sisters in the Lord locally, then that's where my money should go to.
But that's just your opinion, right?
Well, not necessarily. Let me read a couple of scriptures here. I'm not saying that it should all go to the local pastor, but if you want to look at it from the standpoint of tithing, then that portion should go to the local pastor. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." And we're talking about local elders in the church, okay? You know, if they do well, then you should consider giving them a double portion. Here's another one in Galatians chapter 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate, or the word communicate there means pay or give, unto him that teaches in all good things. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And I'm going to read one last one here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. It says, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live by the gospel." So it's not necessarily just my opinion. I believe that we are first and foremost required
That was good, because I struggle sometimes between the fact that, you know, sometimes I do pretty good on a job, and then I like to give 10% of all the profits, even of my income or whatever, like to give 10%. Sometimes when I do really good on a job, I split the 10% and send one to a certain ministry of some sort or whatever, and then the other half I give to church. But in reality, I should give 10%. A person should give 10%. To your home church, and then extras, whatever you want to do with the ministry, you should, you know, because in my mind, I was thinking, I'm giving to God all in all, no matter what. I'm giving it to God. you know, that's what in my mind. But I struggled with that. You know, I wondered if that was even, you know, right, or if I'm just being selfish or what, you know. But I think it should be anything that you give above tithing is offerings, right?
I think so, Samuel, yes. But see, when you say tithe, some people just immediately put you under the law.
Yes, I know that. I know
that. And again, though, to me, those people they have a hard time giving. I think tithe is maybe the beginning, you know. I wouldn't want it, just because, okay, so if that was God's law under the Old Testament, then that would be a very good beginning under the New Covenant. I shouldn't give any less than 10%, but to give more, because we're under grace. And particularly if we've been blessed the way we have as Americans, we have been hugely blessed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I look at it is I can put myself under law pretty quick if I feel like that I need to tithe. You know, oh, I need to tithe because, you know, this is, well, I always try to go in and talk to God. God, you blessed me this week. I want to give back to you. But I know what you mean under law. But I feel you can make this under law so quick if you feel like for me, for example, sometimes I feel like, oh, I want to be able to give because I'm afraid, you know, I won't be blessed, or, you know, I want to be blessed. But the way I talked about with somebody about it yesterday about tithing is like, I know a guy that is a believer, but he's not living for the Lord, and he's not a very good steward with his money. And he drinks alcohol, and he smokes a lot and all that stuff. Would I, or would you give him $100,000, just drop, or no, this is the way it was asked. Would God just drop $100,000 to this guy? Would God just drop $100,000 to him? Could he? Yes, he could, but it's also kind of a dumb question. No, he wouldn't, or he could, but he probably wouldn't, because he's not being a good steward with his money. The same way with your children. If your children are not being good with your money, or with the finances, or being a good steward, you're not going to give them more money. You're not going to trust them. I believe if we trust God and we give back, God is going to bless us more. Not that we want to go after the blessings, but once he sees that we trust him and are obedient to him, then he'll bless us according to what we need. Does that make sense? Does that sound like I'm making it a law? I'm not, but that's not what I'm trying to say.
No, I don't think you are. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So it's a heart matter. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I want to read a note here. Believers are to give as they purpose in their hearts and not from pressure. I really struggle. I don't like when I'm pressured. I like to give out of my heart, not by somebody that goes up and begs and pleads. I mean, those people, like, just turn me off. Those who give under, coercion, I can't even pronounce that word, are not pleasing God with their gifts, regardless of the amount of or fanfare associated with a gift. Reluctance or giving under compulsion is not pleasing unto the Lord. God loves those who give because they want to joyfully, willingly, and cheerfully give. Giving with the wrong motive has invalidated many Christians' giving. And though I've
long time
all people, my good, yeah, go ahead.
I thought you're done, Joe. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
A lot of times when people give, they're expecting something in return. Some way or form, shape or form, they're expecting something in return. A lot of people, and I think we're all guilty of that, but we gotta give. A Christian has to give and expect nothing back and expect nothing out of it. When a person gives, how would I say this? A person has to be able to give and not expect anything in return. And if something comes up that you give somebody something or something and he misuses you, don't bring it up that you gave him, because then you didn't give him out of the right heart. Because at that time, you gave it to him in the right heart, and that's what God put on your heart. Don't bring it up. And I think there's so many people that do that. I mean, I know that I've had that in the past. Before I left Jamis, I had so many people that I was dealt with. You know, I gave you this, now why don't you do this? They expect that out of you. They expect something out of you. And there's even Christians today that do that. And that we, and even I do sometimes, I think, well, I did this, why does he do that? Well, I have to stop and remember, I gave it to him because God laid on my heart, now I don't need anything back. We don't need anything back. We're not truly given if we're expecting something back. Would you agree or not?
I think that, you know, goes back to having motives. If we have the wrong motive, we may as well pocket our money and wait until the motive is right.
Yeah, and Jesus said, too, that if you give only to those who you expect it back, it's not right. But give to those who can't repay. When you have a banquet, don't have it for the ones that are going to invite you to theirs, but have it for the ones that can't afford their own food. So, and also, it's, I mean, I've heard people, a leader at a church say, I gave my 10% and the rest is mine, too. So, I mean, we can go the other way, too, where we think that we owe God 10% and now I gave him that, and like taxes to the government. I gave him what I'm supposed to, I'm not giving a penny more. But even like James says, you prove it by giving. It's out of, like Joe said earlier, about from 1 Corinthians 13, it's out of love. Because if James says in James chapter 2, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and you don't give them what they need, it doesn't do them any good. So if you give your 10% and somebody needs it and you have it, we're still supposed to give out of love.
Well, in the early church in Acts chapter 4, it is pretty obvious that a lot of things were happening, a lot of great things. They got the attention of the whole area there in Jerusalem. But listen what it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, they brought the prices of the things that were sold, they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I tell you guys, I don't know about you, I know in my younger years when, you know, I was still trying to buy things, needs were greater. I'm 50 years old now, I'm a little bit older and don't have many of the needs that I had when I was younger. So I like to go out, go out to eat and leave a nice tip. I think, you know, it goes beyond the church. It's being generous wherever you go. I'm not talking about way far out. But, you know, if you got a good waitress and she does a good job for you, bless her. If you have somebody, I recently had somebody call me and say, Joe, I need some money. I need money because of a doctor bill. And, you know, I listened and I realized that, you know, she needed some and she needed it right away. And I asked her how much and I had to make a choice. And I thought, man, you know, and I'm not saying this to brag, not at all, but it just felt so good to go over there and give her more than what she asked, just because she may need a little bit more than, you know. I walked away and without a doubt, I had the greater blessing. It felt awesome. It felt great to do that. We should never be so tied down to a certain amount. Well, I'll give what I have to give. I guess if they gave 10% under the Old Testament, I should at least give 10%. But missionaries and ministries and pastors all over this world are serving the Lord and able to do so. I mean, I think of all the scriptures that are being translated in other languages and the souls that are being saved because God's people give. And so I appreciate the donors. I love them. They're awesome. They are special people. And God may not give them back that money, but He may keep them out of the doctor's office. He may keep the car from breaking down. He may protect them from all kinds of different things. Is the way I see it. Well, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So, you know, they brought it in. into the church house or wherever they were meeting at that point, and they put it all together and they send it to Jerusalem. You know, and that's what we do today. Even Jesus himself had a treasurer on with him. You know, they didn't have jobs. They walked around. They ministered. And Judas took care of the money. We know that he stole from the money bag. Interesting how that all worked out, working for Jesus. But, yeah, it was very common, even in Jesus' time. So, and let me finish with this, and I'll be done. Donald Trump met with a bunch of preachers, and I forget exactly how the question went, but it had to do with donations. He wondered if I remember right. He wondered if the tax receipt or the receipts were taken away. Would people still continue to give? And pastor said, no, people would stop giving. And I may have that wrong. If somebody heard it differently, that, you know, we'd love to hear it. But we should never give because of tax, because we get a receipt. We should give out of the goodness of our heart. We should not have any false motives.
Well, I'll give the phone numbers again if anybody, you want to hear this recording. Or our other conference call recordings, you can call 641-715-3800. And for the conference call recordings, enter PIN number 89752. So the main phone number, 641-715-3800. And for the conference call recordings, enter 89752. And for our sermon line, you call that same main number, 641-715-3800, and enter 478-499. Next month, the topic is scheduled to be on unity. So there's a couple thousand different Christian denominations and groups, and Jesus prayed that we would all be one, so Samuel's supposed to lead that one, so come and hear him next month. Anything else, Joe?
No, I think I appreciate the time I was able to share, and hopefully somebody will be blessed by it.
All right. So, you want to close in prayer then, Joe?
Yeah, well, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us so much. You didn't hold back. You gave all that you had because you loved us so much. Everything that we own belongs to you. You've given it to us as a gift. You've given us the strength to go to work. You've given us the knowledge and the understanding and the mind to do the work. And Lord, you've given us the paycheck. It all belongs to you. And I pray, Lord, that when we give back to you, that we would do so generously. Not because we know that if we give bountifully, we will also have a return that's bountiful, but because we love you, because we want to worship you, because we want to be generous and kind back to you. And I pray that if there are anybody on this conference line tonight that struggles with it, I pray that you would help them, Lord, that through our discussion, it might have encouraged them to step out in faith and know how wonderful it feels to give beyond what they might think they could give. Bless each person as we continue in the Christian walk, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
There is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, and some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire.